Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to We Are Everyday People, Global Internet Radio Network. It is Sunday, 13th of March. And first of all, I want to thank everybody who has been listening. I've come a long way since the past, this is my third year, of being a paranoid and terrified individual because I've never been known for a gift of gab, but I wanted to start a radio program at the time. That's turned into a network, but at the time I had a lot of things that I wanted to say. I didn't really have a platform to say them. And when I called particular black talk radio stations, you can wait online for an hour, and after about 30 seconds or 10 seconds, depending on whether they like what you're saying or not, they cut you off, which I do understand because it's a different platform, different format. But I just hate getting cut off, and I wanted to be able to say what I had to say. So as one particular radio show host told me in a sarcastic way, if that's the way I feel about it, why don't you start your own radio show? I never forgot it. So in time, I built up enough nerve to do it. And I think we're doing pretty good. Matter of fact, I know we're doing pretty good. We have listeners who, I do get compliments. I do see a lot of folks a lot of times. They'll call in, but they perhaps maybe don't want to come on the line and say anything, which that's fine. I just appreciate the fact that they take the time of their day to kind of listen to what it is that the hosts on our shows have to say. And we just want to put something out there, put information out, and, give you some food for thought. We don't intend to downplay anybody or really disrespect anybody, even though sometimes it can come that way, especially if an individual insists. But we speak from our hearts. We speak, based on what we know and understand. And we can stand to be corrected. I've been corrected a couple of times. I've had to correct a couple of times, but I'm open-minded. And I listen, and I learn. You're never too old to learn. Okay, so, like I said, I want to thank everybody who takes the time to listen to the show live and who takes time to listen to the show on the iCard, on the archives. I do want to start the show today with the brother who's been on before, a brother who I have a ton of respect for. He's really trying to do some positive things in the community. Currently, he is the president of South Shore, Chicago, Illinois South Shore High School Alumni Association, Incorporated. I do want to welcome back again, Brother Terry, hi. Terry, thanks for joining me again. And how you doing?
Keith, it's a real pleasure to be here, as always. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. We haven't talked. Usually, sometime we'll talk before the show and get a little shoot the breeze a little bit. We didn't get a chance to do that. But I know that you have some information pertaining to some up and coming happenings with the South Shore High School alumni, and I'm just going to give you the steering wheel and let you take it over and go where you need to go with it.
Well, as you know, South Shore High School is celebrating 75 years of graduating South Shore Tars, our mascot, 75 years of graduating students from South Shore High School. And we are looking to celebrate this occasion by bringing together a diverse group of alumni from classes dating all the way back to the 1940s to present. We just had recently, as you can recall, Coach Marv Levy of the Chicago Buffalo, not the Chicago Buffalo Bills, but the Buffalo Bills football team. he presented the school with the Golden Football, celebrating 50 years of the Super Bowl. Well, we're in the process of reaching out to several notable alumni from various aspects of success, and that be from science, sports, entertainment, business, journalism, and more, to come back to the school and share their stories about the community, the historic community, the historic high school, and be a source of encouragement to the students that are about to graduate from Monday through Friday. On Saturday, we are seeking to bring together the alumni to unify them from all of the various classes. As you can recall, South Shore was a Jewish community at the onset, and it transitioned to an all-black community. And never in the 75 years of South Shore High School have we ever had an opportunity where all of the classes convened for an event. So we're going to do that in the spirit of unity, celebrating the high school and being a source of encouragement for the students that will be graduating. We'll follow that with some entertainment and, of course, socializing. In a manner unprecedented, with some entertainment from students that have graduated. We've got entertainment coming in from as far as Tel Aviv, Israel, and, of course, some local talent as well that have had some national exposure. So this is what we're trying to organize at this point. We have just begun a round of organizing meetings, and I'd like to encourage the leadership of all the various classes to get engaged by contacting me via Facebook or our website, first of all, by registering online so that they get the news and updates, but also be a part of the planning process so that all alumni have an opportunity to have input and be a part of shaping and molding the event. And there are other alumni groups as well. This is just about the South Shore High School Alumni Association, but it should include the Multi-Year Reunion Committee and any other alumni groups that are out there. It's an opportunity to mentor students, of course, fundraise for the school, provide a service to the students, and once again, unify all alumni classes. So please, if you have an interest in being part of this historic event, I would suggest that you reach out to me and get that invitation to the organizing body, the Alumni Week Committee. You can reach me at 773-294-9042. Once again, that's 773-294-9042.
And if anybody wanted to get in today on this show, I have a question for Terry. You can call in 718-664-9513, 718-664-9513. I saw one question earlier. Is there a particular time frame that you have set up, or are you trying to get particulars together before you even think about putting out a time frame for having this particular week?
Well, we're looking at June. Of course, this is time where finals are taking place, And the kids are getting ready for graduation at that point in time. And it's ideal because we're really looking to wish the kids a bon voyage and a successful future. So the timing is actually perfect.
I read a post, as I read all of your posts. May not respond to them all, but believe me, I'm taking them in. And you mentioned, because it reminded me of me, I said, I'm going to ask you about it. You mentioned one early morning that you kind of had a feeling and you kind of was a little disappointed about something in particular. And it kind of brought you to whereas instead of kind of getting down and out about it, you use that as motivation to get up, to push ahead and keep moving forward. I find myself doing that for various reasons on occasion. Is there anything in particular that you want to share? It sounded like as though maybe expectations weren't being met, and I was hoping it didn't have to do with what's happening with the Alumni Association.
Well, you know, it's odd that you should say that. I've been blessed with a great vision across many activities. The Alumni Association is one of those organizing bodies, and of course, you know that I'm the founder of the World of Soul Motorcycle Community, and of course, it spun off the foundation to produce college tours for students, and the whole opportunity is to increase the amount of college tours departing Chicago and route to historically black colleges and universities. There have been various challenges across all three of those, but yet the challenges have not been enough to cause me to quit. There's been various moments of discouragement, but at the same time, the reward for our youth and the community, once we are able to organize and combine our resources and make these things happen, they far outweigh the challenges. So I find myself tossing and turning at night. and it seems like just when at the right time, information is given to me. So I'm very much a spiritual person, and I'm encouraged because it's that 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning that I find myself being able to work best. And what you read just happened to be one of those times where I got up and there was a mountain of things to write about that had been planted in me. So don't be discouraged about what you read. It was a moment of celebration.
So it was actually encouraging. It was actually encouraging. Nowhere near because I could relate to it. And I sometimes will get up, and I've written on many posts throughout the years that here we go again. It's that's the most spiritual time of life, darkness to daylight. And then I'll go into sharing thoughts that are swirling in my head at that particular time. And sometimes later on, I'll go and read those thoughts and say, damn, you know. So I can relate. I can relate.
Yeah. To be quite honest to the listening audience, I think it was, we should just tell them, it was after I'd given a testimony as to what was going on, it was Dwayne Wood's song, Let Go, that I had accompanied that post with, that video. So if anybody's familiar with that song, you know how that song will make you break down into tears and really thank God about his power to move things forward.
So I take it, and I'm assuming that the obstacles that were once there, that was actually a whole different situation. I had to deal with the name change, but that had to come up, so I imagine there's no reason to bring it up. So that's a good thing. So that is correct, right?
It's all good. Everything's good at this point.
Okay. Just want to make sure I'm not jumping when I may have been on to something. So that's cool. Everything is cool. I'm glad to hear that. So
you know, let me tell you something. We were blessed to have an inaugural alumni week committee meeting, and I tell you, just as soon as I stopped worrying. Those folks that I was looking for to help take the lead in bringing forward the initiative, there they were. That's the bright side.
Great. I mentioned before. Go right ahead.
And I'm sorry, and we're looking for more folks to come into the fold and be a part of what we're doing.
I'm definitely whatever I can do. Of course, I'm kind of rolling around and have to do things kind of from a distance, but whatever little bit, I hope just being able to put this on the air and give people a chance to listen to you. I know, of course, they can read your message, but you can't get a message out too many times. So hopefully this platform is doing whatever little bit positive it can do, you know, for the Alumni Association.
Absolutely. A little bit helps.
So I know you mentioned, now this is 75 years, man, and you mentioned names like Marv Levy and, you know, there's some big names. Yeah, the people have done some outstanding things coming out of South Shore. And I'm taking it that have you actually made contact with these individuals, or are you in the process of making that contact? Have you heard back from anyone?
We have reached out and talked to a lot of folks and or their representatives. As you know, South Shore is the home of, like you said, many notable alumni. And to have folks like Larry Ellison of Oracle Software to come from your school and reach out to them, your phone call gets answered. That's one thing for sure. And folks like the person that co-discovered the structure of DNA, Dr. James Watson, I was very encouraged when I reached out to his office, and these folks are interested. And we'll continue to move forward. I talked to Dorian Boylan personally, who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates and owns about 35 automobile dealerships around the country. He has a huge Mercedes-Benz dealership in Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, yeah.
I'm going to flip my mind for a second. But very kind people and very open to contributing to their alma mater. So we're going to keep moving forward in that regard, but definitely even those that haven't reached those heights, they're just as important, and those phone calls are even more so encouraging as we continue to develop this opportunity. So we're all...
You know, Terry, it's funny you mentioned Dorian Boylan, because Dorian Boylan is one of the individuals who I have been saying for a couple of weeks I wanted to try to contact so I can have him on the show. I wanted to talk about his tenure at South Shore baseball and, you know, where it all started. Before he was actually a Chicago Cub for a minute. What was he? Was he a Cub? No. I think he was a Cub for a second or two. But I just wanted to talk to him about his career and his transition to the dealership. I know he's a very successful Mercedes-Benz dealer. And, yeah, that would be a great interview, I believe.
He speaks very positive about his experience over at South Shore. And even more so, one of the things that he talked about that struck my attention was the transition from grammar school to high school for him was during that period of time when the population of the school was turning from an all-white Jewish
absolutely
school to an African-American school. And that's that story that we really want to get out there during the Alumni Week. We're trying to incorporate this with Ride for Change, Ride for Hope, which is an awareness campaign that tells a story about America's history. I've been having these events around the country, and it's about time we plant that story right there, plant that opportunity right there in the South Shore community and tell that story, because so many things have come from that school as far as alumni is concerned that have impacted the world. And despite our challenges, we've always found ways to move the nation forward. It is one of the themes of Ride for Change, Ride for Hope. And I want to tell that story because South Shore has experienced some rather unique challenges from a high to middle class income community to a moderate to low income community. As you know, South Shore has students from the school, this community, and some outside of the community. But the students in the community, CPS, Chicago Public Schools, 85% of them are low income. The students in the South Shore area, 89% are low income. Despite that, we can combine our resources to make some great things happen. So this alumni week and some of the activities that are going to surround it are going to tell some rather interesting stories to follow up on other stories that have already been put out there in the public, like what was broadcasted on 60 Minutes. This is an opportunity to follow that up with a positive story that talks about how all of the alumni came together, and it's the outcome that we're going to produce, which is going to be the highlight of that story. So that's what I'm looking forward to, and that's the mission I'm trying to share with others so they'll be charged up to be a part of that. Because you got some really interesting challenges. You know, one of the things that an alumni wrote back to me when we first started the Alumni Association, and if you read it, it could be taken as negative, but he was really saying that there's a story that needs to be told. And his question that he raised is, what do we have in common other than sharing the same school building? What do we have in common other than sharing the same school building? Now, of course, this was one of the older white alumni, so we're going to answer that question. We're going to answer that question.
I also want to let's make it clear too, because there's a lot of people who may have listened and that figure that okay, we're going to have a 75-year anniversary, and okay, we'll see you in the next so and so. But your intention is to have some type of consistent connection via an alumni association with South Shore High. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's really about bringing people together that would not ordinarily connect or ordinarily come together, and to help take the community through the school to a place that it would not ordinarily go, and accomplish a community goal in a manner in which we would not ordinarily embark upon as a group. South Shore High School has never had an alumni association, believe it or not. One thing that we all have in common is we want to see the young people in the community succeed. I was talking to the principal, and one of the things that she said, because we were trying to sell the college to a concept for being brought forward by the Alumni Association with the foundation, but let's leave the foundation out for a second. She responded to me, you know, absolutely, we are in the college preparation business. And as I speak to some of the white Jewish alumni, they agree, you know, education is the means by which African Americans will achieve parity in the country, and it is a means by which the community in which they live could be improved. Because it's not a pleasant situation as they look back and they see the conditions that the community in which they grew up in is in. In fact, one of my brokers at one of the companies I used to do business with, when she found out I went to South Shore High School, we started talking about it, and she actually broke down and started crying. She graduated from South Shore High School in the early 60s, and she talked about how beautiful the community was, and it was at that time that I really became concerned, and I began to really realize, you know, how that transformation wasn't as good as it should have been, and how there's a need to help reconcile the community and bring about some positive solutions. So I'm thankful that I'm having the opportunity to serve the alumni, both black and white, and that the black alumni are in agreement that the programmatic plans that we have in place show high probability of receiving some support, and that it will engage the alumni with the students in a manner that they have never been engaged before. And it's one of those things that brings back that 2008 mantra that President Obama had everybody repeating, and that's, yes, we can. So we want to demonstrate that, you know, the elected man turned our back and started whispering to ourselves, yes, he can. This is an opportunity to demonstrate how we can and actually do it with people that would not ordinarily connect. And once we connect them, you know, by means of the association, we can sustain that with some agreement as to how we're going to do that, and to continue to drive some resources in that direction that will allow us to continue to do that. That's the plan.
It's a great plan. I think it can be a great thing with a lot of potential, and it absolutely will be a great challenge, because we definitely have to, it's going to take some deep programming And these days, unfortunately, with the state of, you know, the state of us and the state of people, disenfranchised people, and it's work, very much worth trying to do. So I like what's going on, man. I hope everybody would take heed and join in some way, shape, or form and make this happen.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that about the ability to be deprogrammed to make that happen. There was a report, I forgot the gentleman's name, but he was the first African-American reporter over at CBS. Back in 1974, he had filed a report. It was an hour-long report. It talked about the state of Black America, and there was an episode, I don't know if you've seen that, but it's been floating around on Facebook. There were the opinions of white folks, of Black folks, and vice versa. Why white folks moved out of their neighborhoods, and why Black folks were having the challenges they were having in urban communities to sustain themselves and their families. That conversation is one that has been reignited in this process, and it really gives an even more clear understanding as to people were back then and where they are now with those opinions and what it's going to take to move us from where we are to where we ought to be from a social standpoint, economic standpoint, political and spiritual standpoint.
Absolutely, because there's so many various media outlets that we'll be going against. I mean, steering one way, we got to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, okay, just like the video games, like we have to teach them that's what it is. You know, you can't in real life, you can't push the button and reset. So you got to just critical thinking, conflict resolution, anger management. And it's a lot to overcome, but like I say, it is worth it. If we don't do it, it won't get done.
And talking about doing, the South Shore Community Action Council, which is an arm of Chicago Public Schools, will be convening on the 17th, I do believe.
17th.
Next Thursday over at Our Lady of Peace Church. It's going to be a special meeting. This is going to be one that's going to involve a memorial with some testimony, video, and pictorial tribute of Henry English. I don't know if you can recall Henry English. He was the president of the Black United Fund.
You know, I didn't know of him until he passed. Everything I heard, man, it makes me wish that I did. I can't believe I hadn't known him. I just didn't. But everything I heard has been just a beautiful brother, man.
Henry English was a former Black Panther. He's actually credited for recruiting Congressman Bobby Rush, who was also a Black Panther, into the organization. He headed up the Black United Fund. He was the founder of that chapter and is credited for bringing some funding into the community, some programming into the community. Also credited for advocating for the construction of South Shore International College Prep. He was a local school council member over there at South Shore, and his organization hosted the South Shore Community Action Council, which is one of 9 community action councils across the city that are a part of Chicago Public Schools, one of their initiatives. And that's where I first met him. I first met him at the local school council meeting, but once I became a member of the South Shore Community Action Council, I began to spend a little bit more time with him as he was a part of those meetings. We also sat on the same committee to repurpose the South Shore High School building, the old South Shore High School building. So I was sitting among the giants. And on Thursday, there's going to be a memorial for him. Then we will transition over into our monthly meeting before a larger audience. And at that time, I'll give a presentation regarding the Rock for Change, Rock for Hope College Tour, collaboration with the Community Action Council, which will include reaching out to various community organizations, institutions, governmental agencies, supported by elected officials, commercial interests, and other foundations to bring forward these college tours. We're looking to mobilize the community with a service for our students that culminates with 20 to 30 tour buses departing Chicago en route to historically black colleges and universities, escorted by 100 motorcycles or more. So I'm pleased to be able to ignite the movement from a community in which I grew up in, with a high school in, and that it be supported by the Community Action Council and also the Chicago Public Schools Community Action Council structures is being redesigned, and there'll also be a presentation about that. I think Rosita Chitanda is also on the agenda. She is a frequent person on your radio network.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
That's your problem.
Yes, she hosts the show.
More. There you go. So she'll be talking about that, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about HBCU, man, I tell you, my eyes light up because, of course, all my life I had heard of HBCUs. I've never been the one until my son started at University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. He's just going into his senior year now. He's in his senior year now. And I tell you, Brother Terry, there's nothing like an HBCU. Nothing like it. I just wish that people were more receiving of them and would consider them so that they can flourish like the non-HBCUs. They're great schools. You're around your own people. You're around your own people with a common ground, a common goal. And it's just a beautiful sight to see all these, all of our youth gather together, doing the right thing, man. It's just a beautiful sight. That's just me.
Well, a lot of people don't know, too, that historically black colleges and universities are also diverse campuses and many instances. And,
yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And they were charged at the onset to provide educational opportunities for African Americans. So we are engaged with providing this service and telling the story because our initiative, Black for Change, Black for Hope, once again, is an awareness campaign that tells a story about America's history and that along America's roadways are many places of historical significance. But these stories, in summary, say despite our challenges, we've always found ways to move the nation forward. So Chicago Public Schools, their goal is to increase the amount of high school graduates and also increase the amount of students enrolling into a post-secondary education institution. So we want to encourage the education conversation and provide more hands and feet with support to enable more of our students to participate in the post-secondary education process. Despite our economic situation, we should be able to do just that. And that's the strategy that we're looking to bring forward at this Thursday's meeting. And we're hopeful that as many people as possible will come out and hear the presentation and clearly understand the value and be a part of steering some resources that enable our students to be a part of this experience. You know, our students need experiences that showcase their possibilities. And we need adults that enable students to be a part of this this process of them having these experiences that inspire them to pursue a college degree. And that's what this is all about. That's why we really want the Alumni Association to be involved, because we can give away scholarships high and by, but when it really comes down to that first step on the college campus, how did that come about? If the alumni were part of that, it really would help fuel their aspirations as well, because we've got a great many alumni that have done some fantastic things. I mean, the head of the Harvard School of Medicine is a graduate of South Shore High School. The head of the National Association of Scientists is a graduate of South Shore High School. So despite a lot of the negative things that have happened in the 80s and 90s and when the school really went down, there still were some people that have come out of that school and done some great things. The person that is head of marketing for General Motors during that time period came out of South Shore. Is an alumni. So we have a great story to tell, and I can go on and on about the opportunities and our history. I know my time is will be coming up coming to an end, and so I just kind of back out. Mm-hmm. But look forward to it sometime.
I hope people hear you. Yeah, I hope people hear you and take interest in this college tour, because what they're going to get from this tour is worth so much more than just taking a trip somewhere and going on a college. This is historic, and I hope that before they make a decision, that they at least try to get on this tour and check it out and listen to what you all have to say about these HBCUs, because I know firsthand that I don't get any feeling like that anywhere else when I'm around these college youth at the HBCU. Yes, they're diverse, but there is a majority. It's noticeable, and it's just a beautiful sight to me.
Good.
So, okay, we'll let you, I don't know, you probably made a closing statement and all of this in a combo, and each of what you had to say to this point, but I'll give you that opportunity to make a closing statement, maybe something you may not have put out there, but you know how we do it, from the heart, just putting it out there in the way that you want it received. So I'll hand it over to you now.
Hey, family, South Shore High School alumni, join us this Thursday at Our Lady of Peace Church at about 6 o'clock. That's when I will be over there to give a presentation about Life of Change, Life of Hope College Tour, a collaboration with the South Shore Community Action Council. Even more so, be part of the organizing for the Alumni Week. Have your voice heard and have your input during our conference calls and in-person meetings. Get on the distribution list for the invitations for the meeting so you know where we are, what time, and how to connect. So 773-294-9042 is my number. Give me a call, 773-294-9042, or simply log on to Facebook, catch me there, through the Alumni Association's page or my personal page, Terry Hardy, or even go to our website at www.sshsalumni.org and register if you haven't already done so, and send me a note. Let me know about your unique qualifications and how you want to connect, whether you're even a president of a class here or you chair a committee on the alumni group. Whatever it is you want us to know, that helps us to appreciate how the value that you bring to the table. Just tell us who you want. We greatly appreciate that. Looking forward to hearing from everybody. Looking forward to moving forward more than anything else. Some progress is always better than no progress. And every little thing that we do is a means of celebration. So I'm glad to be here tonight to celebrate that we are making some progress with the Alumni Association, not the Alumni Association.
Brother Terry, once again, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. We'll stay in touch. Hopefully, as things transpire, we can come on and keep the message going here. And I'll do whatever I can do from remotely or while I'm in town. I'm willing to do what I can do for this cause, and I'm happy to be a part of it in whatever way I can be. So thanks again, but I appreciate
you. You're a blessing. Thank you for the platform.
Absolutely. Much respect to you. And everybody, when we come back, I'm going to go into this is the last weekend before a historic election in Chicago with the future of Chicago at stake, in my opinion. And we'll see if you agree. And we'll be right back. Brother Terry, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Be back in a second.
She walks right in my dreams since I met her. Chicago, for your next family reunion, call Jimmy Williams of Abstract T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunion expert since 1990, with photo T-shirts and custom printing available. You can see samples of his work on the internet. Search for JimmyWilliamsOnline.com. That's JimmyWilliamsOnline.com. One word. For families wanting reasonable prices, quality service, and good advice at making their family reunion a success, call Jimmy Williams from Abstracts T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunions should always be a happy occasion, and your T-shirts should reflect that. Call Jimmy Williams at 773-690-5366. Your T-shirt man.
Okay, I am back. I apologize for that little clip. I was actually trying to put something else on, and I had that particular clip under the wrong doggone name, and it messed me up. But that's okay. As like this is not a service, but the show must go on. So the number here is 718-664-9513. 718-664-9513. If you want to join in a conversation, I can see some of you out there listening. All you have to do is press #1 on your keypad, and I know you want to chime in. But if not, I appreciate you taking time to listen, because I know there's other things that you could be doing. Well, I tell you, you know, this coming Tuesday is the day. It's a day that I'm looking forward to, but it's a day that I just don't know. What I do know is that, in my opinion, and you can let me know if you agree or disagree, but I believe that the history, take that back, I believe that the future of Chicago, not necessarily the permanent future, but the future of Chicago is at stake. It really is. And those of you in Chicago know what I'm talking about. I mean, we have a situation where we have a cover-ups, criminal cover-ups that exceed Watergate, that President Nixon and Vice President Spiro Agnew resigned over in the early 70s. This is a cover-up. Lies, lies, lies. Perjury, incompetent. But not incompetent, because Anita Alvarez knows exactly what she's doing. But evil, wicked, wicked, wicked deeds. Right in the people's face, right there on videotape. You're watching it. Various instances. But the one that's mostly talked about is
Laquan McDonald shot 16 times. The officer was about to reload until he was advised not to reload. After the first shot, the guy was down on the ground. Where was the threat? Even the first shot wasn't worth it. If he had shot him the one time, he should have faced the same charges he's going to hopefully face and be held accountable for shooting him 16 times on camera. And they're lying. They're lying. False police report should be a felony. You file a false police report knowingly, that should be a felony, and that should call for immediate termination. Whenever the Chicago Police Department's union contract comes up, I hope whoever's in charge of this thing take care of business and call their bluff. They're not gods, and they're acting like it because they've been able to. And the Cook County State's Attorney, Anita Alvarez, is a reason why they feel like damn gods, because they know that that thing, that wicked thing, is not going to hold them accountable. They know it. There's no accountability. That's why it keeps happening. Not just Chicago, but all over the place. They have no reason to fear. They have no reason to fear. So it's open season. All of these cops who actually are undercover supremacists, they knew what they were doing. While we were being entertained watching, you know, whatever we watch to be entertained, they're out there getting into the criminal justice system, into the school system, and everything else. And they're in there, and it's coming out on live video, not live video, but on video. It's coming out. We're seeing it. We're looking at it. What's the problem? Come on, y'all. If Anita Alvarez is not taken out of office on this coming Tuesday by the people. Everybody who was talking about they wanted her to resign, I didn't want her to resign. I want the people to resign her. But if she is reelected, can you imagine on Wednesday, if she's reelected on Tuesday, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, she gonna show. Who the hell y'all think y'all are? How dare y'all? Y'all gonna remove me from office? I got something for you. And Anita Alvarez is still walking around talking about she has done nothing wrong. But I guess once you get that far into your wickedness, you got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. But it sounds so ridiculous and disrespectful. It's disrespectful that she is even running, period. For her to even be running after what's taken place in Chicago, that she had control over and not holding anybody accountable as far as the law enforcement, she had to get out of there. If she don't, Chicago, you can forget it. You can forget it. The world is watching. Rahm Emanuel, unfortunately, there's no election Tuesday. His ass ought to be out of there, too. He's still walking around cheesing, thinking he'd done nothing wrong, trying to make his little band-aid corrections, and sitting around taking pictures and smiling with these black people. Well, I'm going to say something else, but I'll just assume that they're innocent, whatever else. I'm not going to go into them, but I'll go into him, because it's not about them, it's about him wanting to take pictures, smiling on the front page, and these newspapers have the nerve to publish it, smiling and cheating with black people. That's an insult. That's an insult. Rahm Emanuel, he's a damn liar. And now, and I see caller, I'm going to get your caller in a second. But and he also has this new group that Lori Lightfoot is supposed to be in charge of this police review, something or another, which is just a piece of crap. It's just another front. Who in their right mind would appoint somebody to be in charge of a group that's responsible for investigating your own shit? You're going to get somebody on the inside where there's an unspoken code of ethics that's going to do the right thing. And when I heard her on an interview on WVON with Cliff Kelly, Chicago's WVON AM 1690, if you want to Google them and tune into their show, they have some really good shows during the week. That's my favorite station, including WALK in Atlanta. But that's another story. Pastor got on there talking about, oh, well, amongst other things she said that just was stressing that, well, the police, we need to ensure that they have the proper training, that they need more training. And I, you know, my stomach just tightens when I hear people talking about police training, because these racist supremacist cops had the same damn training as the good cops that do the right thing, which are most of the cops, I believe. The same damn training. What do you mean they need training? How do you train a racist supremacist bigot, a racist swine? Don't common sense to say they need training because he shot a guy 16 times who was down after the first time and shouldn't have been even shot the first time? He was no threat? Hell, what kind of training are you giving? What kind of training do they get? Do you give those who infiltrated the police department from the KKK and the supremacist group, do they get a certain set of training? And the ones you know who are all about doing the right thing, are they in another group with a different kind of training? What's all this training shit? That's an insult. Nobody calls them out on it. Let me bring in caller, and I'll go into the let me just say again, I'm sure Brother Whitney, Carl Sanderson, I'm sure you're going to say something about this too, but we'll be talking more about this, and we'll talk about the presidential election. And but here we go. We're going to bring in my brother, my alumni I've known a long time, Brother Carl Sanderson. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How about yourself, Keith? How you doing, my brother?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you calling. Great. Thanks for calling in,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh yeah, I've been listening. I listened to Terry, you know, the whole time, and I didn't get a chance to respond to Terry, but I appreciate everything that Terry done for that alumni, Southshore alumni, because it takes a lot of dedication and hard work, man, to commit to us alumni association. That's commendable, brother, you know, man.
Yes.
And I would like to spend some time too. You know, my time has been very tight as of late. You know, working and going to school all the time. So, but I'm still blogging and doing certain things. Oh, yeah. And I'm still, you know, doing a little something on the I love Facebook. Facebook is great, you know. Black History Month is every day. You know, that's my thing, you know. Kick the knowledge and kick it out there. But, you know, man, we got historic elections coming up Tuesday. And my thing is, with Anita Alvarez, man, is that, you know, what's going to be put to test is I want to see how the Mexican population votes. Now, if they come out like they said it was going to come out and they support Chuy, and, you know, majority of Cook County, we have a large percentage of, they come out Tuesday, we can actually vote her out of office, man. And that's what I'm hoping, you know. It's going to... Now, we're going to find out what the Hispanic or the Mexican population is willing to do. Are they going to go out there and vote for her? We're going to find out Tuesday their stance.
You're damn right.
So then, and then when we find out their stance, then we know how we should, you know, relate to them, you know, because if you're going to support this nonsense, you know, you got this woman in office. She does absolutely nothing. She's in bed with the Fraternal Order of Police, you know, she done absolutely nothing. They was forced until until this one guy came out and exposed and took this case to court, and he asked the judge to release those films, to release the video of the killing of Laquan McDonald. That's when they knew, and that judge had said, yes, I will do it. That's when they came out. They tried to cover it up, and ever since then, everything else been coming out, you know, on just, you know, with Kill Boy.
But you understand.
Let me say this, though. Here's how that review board, that's a piece of bull crap, you know, because here's what we have to do now. With the city council, we have to, the people of Chicago have to get together. We have to start doing, we have to force them to do referendums. We have to vote on police boards. We have to do that ourselves because the people need to make those cops accountable. When you vote in, when you do a referendum and you vote in certain people to sit on those boards, then you're going to get better reviews. But having special training for cops and all, no, absolutely not. That's not going to do it, because that's going to continue. It's going to continue to keep going, snowball into the same BS that it's been doing. That's not going to help. We have to have a referendum. We have to vote our own police board in. Like you said, we can't have these idiots having their friends, best friends on the board and covering up crimes and stuff. That's got to go. You know, I'm glad.
Do you feel what I'm saying or just feeling as far as this being an election, that the future of Chicago is at stake? Am I getting this right, in your opinion?
Yes. This election is very important, man. This is one of the most important elections ever, man. You know, it's going to tell what African Americans are made of. I want to see the percentage of African Americans come out. I want to see what's going to happen. I'm really looking at this Anita Alvarez. Now, if we can get her out of office, this would be historic. That means that the people have stepped up. You know, that says a lot. Because it says a lot, and also it's going to, and I feel good about how we came out, how this young group of African Americans, these young cats in their 20s and 30s and the early 40s, they came out and they actually shut Black Friday down. They shut them down. Ron Emanuel didn't know what to do. They lost a lot of money on Michigan Avenue. And I was so glad that these young cats came out, man. And that showed me right there that Anita Alvarez, she's a done deal. Now, she's been showing her face on these commercials, and there's nothing genuine about Anita Alvarez, man. Every time I look at her, I look at her with this pain. I detest that she's been there for seven years, man. She has got to go.
She should be removed. Whether she will be, we'll see. I'm nervous about it because I know how we can be. I know how we can be.
Right.
All I know is that can you imagine what black folks are in store for if she's not taking her office?
Oh, man,
you ain't seen nothing yet.
Man. Yeah, she's going to clown on that, man. She's going to love it. And, you know, and then that's just going to tell us that, hey, man, we have more work to do. We got to get these people out, man. We could actually vote her out. Cook County has a large population of African Americans that's registered to vote that can vote her out alone.
Absolutely.
If they come out, they got to come out. And that's the number one thing that I've been preaching. You got to come out. You got to come out and vote Tuesday. Now, a lot of people, now she's going to get the support of the police department and FOP. Yeah, you have a lot of brothers that's on that force. You know, a lot of brothers, they're going to vote her out, too. A lot of brothers and sisters that's on that force, they'll be voting for Fox. But then, you know, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to really be interesting.
I do believe that she will be defeated, and I hope that people go with Kim Fox, because that would change the whole face of the situation
Absolutely.
In Chicago. And if
Absolutely.
Kim Fox gets in there, you know damn well Rahm Emanuel is next. Whether it's before his election or then, he's done.
Absolutely.
So this is
Absolutely.
So important, man. What do you think about it?
I'm nervous. I'm with you. I'm nervous about it too. But
yes.
I'm really hoping that we can. I'm actually want to take off Tuesday and just get out there. I wish I could have touched base with Kim Fox. And, you know, because I know what she needed to do. Kim Fox needed to really go out in all of Chicago. She needed to be out there. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that's going to vote for Kim Fox because of you have a lot of smart, educated white folks, man, that will not vote for Anita Alvarez, because there's a difference between color trash.
I agree.
And, you know, it's a difference. They're smart.
I agree.
Smart, educated white folks, man, they basically want to do the right thing. That's how Harold Washington got in. They supported him. The Gold Coast whites, rich ones, they supported Harold Washington. That's how he got in, because they wanted to see the right thing done, man. They got tired of that. They tired of the machine politics, man. I'm sick of it, too. And it's another thing. We ought to hold a referendum. See, the people got to come out, man. I see that we ought to hold a referendum and just eliminate 25 aldermen. You eliminate 25 aldermen, and you make an alderman, make him responsible for two wards. You know, let's cut the budget.
Yeah, let's do something.
You know, 50 aldermen with 50 wards, the taxpayers don't need that vote because they're not doing anything, because most of them are rubber stamped anyway. Whatever Ron Emanuel wants them to do, that's what they do. They're gonna rubber stamp and whatever. They don't even challenge the man. You know, we have a lot of work to be done, man. You know, I work for. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you this because I had a debate. I've been having this debate for a few days, actually, and which I understand both sides, but I don't know. When it comes to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, there was a post where 33% of those who intend to vote for Bernie Sanders, if Hillary Clinton turns out to be the nominee, that they will not vote for her. I wrote that.
Hey,
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Now, I don't want Trump, but I understand.
That's me. I'm in that. It's funny that you said that. You know, I'm in that because I love what Bernie Sanders stands for. I look at Bernie Sanders as he's honest. He seems more genuine than Hillary. I look at Hillary, man. I detest Hillary. I look at Hillary as a Republican in a three-piece suit. That's how I see Hillary, man. She's a liar.
But check this out, brother.
Go ahead.
Check this out. But the friend of mine, who's a good friend that I really, really respect. We agree on most things, but I tell you, we get in the ring and we go at it in debate and we go at it. But when it's over, it's over. It's nothing personal. And I really appreciate Brother Dan Lee because we can do that and still be cool with each other. And I like that. But the thing that Dan was kind of saying was that we got to look beyond that because we should unite around Hillary. If she defeats Bernie, we should foresee anything else and go for Hillary, because if not, then that will pave the way for a Trump presidency. Now, this is what I say, and I'll let you respond. My thinking is, you know what? If Hillary is the best thing that you had to offer us as a candidate, maybe we deserve a Donald Trump who's going to make sure that we're going to wake the hell up, because you see what the hell he's doing. Hillary Clinton will keep us sleeping, thinking that we got something. Maybe it's time to take on this shit head on
right. And
see where we are and what we really have. Well, I mean, what do you think about that, man?
Hey, man, absolutely. You're absolutely right, because, you know, the past couple of days, this past weekend, it came to pass, because most of the brothers and the sisters that think all just about like how we think, they came out. They came out for the Trump rally, and they said, look, idiot, you're not coming to Chicago with that nonsense. You're not going to bring your racist game to Chicago. And most of the white folks that was in line, that stood in line and came to support Trump, they're mostly on the trailer trash side. They're not the smart, educated ones. They wasn't there because they're not going to support Trump. That's the difference. A lot of people don't understand is you have 330 million people in this United States. Now, we must have a population of probably 180 million of them are white. And then you got a large trailer trash population that hails from Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio. And he's going to get those. The trailer trash votes, he's going to get them, because the only thing they're thinking about when they hear another white guy says, we're going to go out there and vote and get our country back, and we don't care, we're going to build a wall, we keep Mexicans out and all that. That's scary. It's scary, man.
Okay, should Bernie, those 33%, go towards Hillary, or should we challenge this and say, hey, we're tired of going with the lesser of two devils, and maybe it's time that we take heed to this wake-up call, because we don't still seem to be woke yet. That, and that's just my little opinion. That's what we were debating about. And that made me think about it, because it makes sense. On the one hand, they talk about the Supreme Court coming up, justices going to have to be appointed and so forth, and Hillary will be the best for that and so on. And I'm saying, first of all, we survived Nixon, Reagan, the Bushes, all that. We survived slavery, Jim Crow. Look,
right.
I'm not supporting this fool, this dumbass, racist pig, Donald Trump, but it ain't going to be the end of the world.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It ain't gonna be,
right. We're going to survive.
Oh, you know what?
It's going to be
having a Trump, in office will bring on challenges, but bring these Negroes off, you'll get them off their ass, and they will see that this white boy is going to put his foot on your neck, and he's going to challenge you. That's what Trump is going to do, man. He's going to challenge you, and that's what's going to wake people up. This country,
you gotta wake up.
With a Trump in office, maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need a Trump in office so we will get off our asses, you know.
And we don't mean it. And I know you don't mean that as an endorsement for that fool, because he is a. But
right.
At the same time, like you're saying, we got to wake the hell up. And Hillary, we're going to keep on sleepwalking, being so happy and glad like we got something now. Really? So,
hey,
I don't know, man.
I love the Black Panther. I love the Black Panther era, because the Black Panther era brought on unity, man. It brought black pride, man. It brought it out. And there, as soon as Beyonce came out and she was celebrating that black unity thing, you know, with Black Panther Party and whatnot, you know,
yeah.
White
yep.
folks don't like,
yep.
they don't like that. They don't like that. But see, she had the platform to initiate it, and she did a real good job of initiating it. And I'm glad it came out, and hopefully a lot of young blacks would take heed of that and say, look, this is what we got to, this is what's happening now, man. The country is divided, man. I don't care what you say or what. That's why I like this program here, because you can speak on how you want to speak about the truth. See, the truth is a motherfucker, man. The people don't like the truth, man.
Yes.
You know.
There is a civil war. There's a civil war going on, or about to go on, between the Caucasian people. Not all of them, because many of us are with us. They don't want this shit, because it puts them in a situation. But there is something going on, and it's going to hit. Look, these guys are going to look at if they stole election from Al Gore twice. Hell, they're not even ready to steal it from their own. They're going to do all they can
right.
to get Donald Trump to not be president. And I'm this is going
right.
to be some hell of a fight to watch. You know?
Well, here's what they're doing as we speak. The Republican Party, they all gather up trying to figure out Rubio and Cruz and a couple of more veterans. They all together trying to figure out how can we get a number. We need to get somebody in there other than Trump. They trying to work it out and see what can they do. They will change. That's why they said, with all the disdain and the way they treating Obama, saying, look, Negro, we don't care if you do have a close to 11 months to a year. You're not gonna put who you want to put in that Supreme Court. You know.
Yep. Yep.
Now that
yep.
that's a slap in the face, man. That is one slap
yep.
in the face, man. You know, and that just goes to show you how they're thinking. Because like I say all the time about Republicans, people, Republicans will have you as a slave. If they had it their way, you would be nothing but slaves. That's what you would be under a Republican regime. And that's what they're all about, keeping their foot on your neck and keeping everything for themselves and splitting the pot for themselves like they've been doing. Because if you look at the makeup, people, of the Senate, look at the Senate. Bunch of old,
yes.
older, white, disgruntled racists. The House, too, the congressmen. Look at Washington and look at the makeup.
Speaking of the House and the Senate, I believe another thing that the Trump presidency would do is we would get the House and the Senate. See, he just can't do what he wanted to do any more than President
right.
Obama couldn't just do what he wanted to do. He just can't get in there and just
right.
do his shit.
Right.
You got to go through some shit. So let's calm down a little bit. I mean,
right.
it's serious shit. But he can't just get in there and do what the hell he want to do.
That's right. But here's the thing about that. Keith, the only reason why he would have a better chance of cutting deals because he's a white boy. Now he can cut. They're going to listen to him when he gets those senators and congressmen in closed doors. He can cut deals because that's what they have been doing for the last 200 years. They've been cutting deals behind closed doors until Obama. See, they didn't want to do no dealing with Obama. And that's one thing that Obama, the only deals that Obama was successful in doing was he saved Wall Street. And they knew, those congressmen, those white congressmen and senators, they knew that they had to save Wall Street. He saved the auto industry. They knew that had to be done. See, they all went along with him saving those industries like that. But
of course, yeah.
They wouldn't pass his bill. He wanted to do the bill where he wanted to fix the infrastructure. Had he was able to pull off this infrastructure deal across America, a lot of people would be at work, man, and he would be hailed as one of the greatest presidents ever if he could have pulled off this infrastructure deal. Because the infrastructure deal would have put a lot of people to work, blacks, whites, people would have been working, Asians. And so that's what they, you know, like Obamacare. Obamacare is working for a lot of white folks right now are benefiting from Obamacare at a large percentage. But no, they don't want to tell you that. I'm so sick and tired of the Republican. That's all you got to say is, well, as soon as I get in, I'm going to change Obamacare. No, you're not, Donald Trump. You're not, because the law is not going to allow you to change Obamacare, you idiot, you. But see, the Trump problem is he don't have a platform. He's a real estate
mogul. He doesn't have anything.
He's not a politician.
He doesn't have
anything. He's just hooping and hollering. No, he don't have anything to say. And
he has racist.
He has racist.
That's all he has. He's trying to use it, and he don't have enough sense to know that. He's going to eventually be a victim of all this shit he's starting. He's going to pay the price for it in some way, shape, or form. His own people may even see to it.
Yeah, they don't.
But you know,
the people are looking out. This past weekend has really shown him that the people, see, Chicago, they look at our politics. And we showed the nation that, look, Donald Trump, don't bring this bullshit to Chicago. He got slapped in the face with it. And now he's on the internet talking about, oh, he glad that happened. It's been exposed. No, you an idiot. It happened because the people are not having this. And there's a lot of white folks, a lot of smart, educated white folks that are backing people of color with this. And then you have 30% of Hispanic here. No, that's not welcome here.
I want to say this. I just got a text, and I'm here in Columbia, Missouri, and I just got a text. I'm going to have to make a dispatch to St. Louis. God damn it. Man. Okay, look. I want to say, I'm going to give you a chance to make a last statement to you, Brother Carl. I want to say kudos to Chicago, and I meant to say at the beginning of the show. Chicago, I was so effing proud of you all this weekend, I didn't know what the hell to do. You made me proud when you shut down Michigan Avenue. But yesterday, you showed Donald Trump that I believe that what Chicago did was change the damn game. What they did is going to change the whole rhythm of what's happening with this man's campaign. So kudos to Chicago, and that's a kudos to Beyonce, too, for representing. What you think, Brother Carl? Go ahead and give me a last word, and I'm going to have to close it out.
Absolutely, man. That's exactly what I was speaking on. You know, because what happened with Kansas, it reflected on Donald Trump. The message is out against you, man. Your game has come to a closure. His BS has come to a closure. The people are not having it, and that's just the way it's going to be, man. There's a lot of work that we have to do from now until November. Donald Trump, he won't win because of the majority of Americans, they will vote Hillary in. They're not going to have Donald Trump as their president. Absolutely not. I tell you something else. The Republican Party, they're going to work against Donald Trump. You watch, because they have so much hate for this man, against him in their own party, man. So the Republican Party, let me say this about the Republican Party. It's going to be a long time coming before a Republican is the president of the United States. That's what I have to say, and I want people to come out and vote, because that's your number one rightful duty is to come out and vote. You know, even though the voting thing's been tainted and they stole from Al Gore and they stole from the George W. Bush, he shouldn't have been the president for two terms, you know. So he stole election as well. So that's my thing. Get out and vote, and let's see what the changes bring us. Thanks a lot for having me, man. I appreciate you, man. It's always good to hear your voice and hear you. I've been following you. I've been busy, but, you know,
yeah,
message and the delivery is there. You know, I'm always there for my people, you know, and I'm about change and kicking knowledge, and that's what I'm about. Thanks
well,
a lot,
I appreciate you coming on, Brother Carl. I wish you had more time. It's always great for you to call in. We always have great conversations, and unfortunately, I'm glad I got most of the show in. I had a little bit more, but, well, you know how it is. Sometimes you just got to break it off and go make that money, man. I know you can relate to that.
Okay.
So thanks, people, thank you, Brother Carl. I'll talk with you, man. We'll talk after the election and toss it around there, brother. Take care. Peace to you. Much respect.
Peace.
Okay, everybody. I had a little bit more. I guess we'll have to I'm almost certain I'll have a show unless something comes in dispatch-wise on Wednesday, the day after the election. But I'm glad and I was able to get Brother Terry Hardy in. I really appreciate Brother Terry coming on, the president of the South Shore High School Alumni Association Incorporated, and great information. And I hope everybody can get to that meeting. And hopefully if you have children or grandchildren about ready to go to college, they will try to get involved in this HBCU college tour, and check it out. I'm telling you firsthand, there's nothing like an HBCU. It's a beautiful place to go to school. So I also want to thank Brother Carl Sanderson for calling in and holding me up and getting some good information in. And I also want to thank Brother Dan Lee. We had some Dan is a great brother. When we debate, and we really go at it hard. If people didn't know us, they'd read our debate and think that we just can't stand each other. But no, it's not like that. It's like two prize fighters sparring. You know, that's the way it is. You know, you're going to get hit, you're swinging, and when it's over with, you go to your corner. You get out the way, you go out and have some dinner. It's all good. And I really appreciate that, that we can do that. I wish more people could do that. So on that note, I'm going to call it a night. Got to go to work. In the name of whomever or whatever, your spiritual power. Peace and good night.
been listening to be our Everyday People, Global Internet Radio Network. Peace.